We are on a Wisconsin storytelling tour on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin Life is a project of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, and it celebrates what makes our state unique. All the stories, personal and rich with the personality of the state we call home. What is something in your community that celebrates life here in Wisconsin? And Wisconsin Life fans, what was your favorite story that sticks with you? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Maureen McCollum is an executive producer of Wisconsin Life. Maureen, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
Well, we know that these pieces, they really help tell the story of Wisconsin, but you've been doing this long enough to know, like, what do you go after? There's so much out there. How do you choose?
That's the hardest part of this job, is that there is not a shortage of stories. So with Wisconsin Life, we want to tell the stories of the people, places, culture, history of Wisconsin. We want to bring in a variety of voices and histories and just let our listeners know that we are a beautiful, diverse, wonderful state.
Well, let's talk about some of your favorite segments that have come to air. Tell us what we learned about Joni Mitchell's connection
yes.
here.
This Joni Mitchell story was such a delight. There was one afternoon that I entered a Joni Mitchell internet wormhole, as one does. And I had discovered, as I was just reading about her life, that she actually did a photo shoot for one of her albums here in Madison. So Joni Mitchell played a show here in 1976, and during that stop, she went into town on State Street, bought a pair of skates, and then went skating on Lake Mendota. And author Dean Robbins wrote a beautiful essay remembering that moment in time.
The surface was dangerously spongy. Freezing cold water splashed onto Joni's face, leaving welts. But she felt compelled to go through with her mad plan. Her photographer followed along to record the strange scene. Mitchell was surprised to find that her cape acted as a sort of sail. She spread her arms and let the wind carry her, looking like a crow in flight. The photographs captured a mystical moment, an artist on an unearthly journey, destination unknown and arrival uncertain.
So if you have her Hejira album, you'll see these pictures of Picnic Point, of Joni skating on Lake Mendota. It's really amazing. And what I loved about this story and loved hearing from listeners, like through social media and whatnot, is that not many people knew this about Joni Mitchell. So that was a really fun story.
How did you dig into that history then? I mean, once you had those basic details, where did you go from there?
Well, Dean Robbins did the reporting on that, but you could find newspaper clippings from back in the day. Joni Mitchell's website actually has this amazing archive of her history, and they compile a lot of just news stories about her and different essays about her. So, yeah, it was out there, but Dean just put it together in the special way that he always does.
We're talking with Maureen McCollum, executive producer of Wisconsin Life, and you can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What's something in your community that celebrates life here in Wisconsin? What do you want to uncover and celebrate? Call in. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Maureen, let's look at another piece you did on the legacy left by Dr. James Cameron. And first of all, tell us who he is and what his connection is to Wisconsin.
Yeah, Dr. James Cameron is a really remarkable human. He is the founder of America's Black Holocaust Museum, which was open in Milwaukee's Bronzeville neighborhood for about 20 years. He started it in the 80s. It closed during the recession in about 2008. And Dr. Cameron survived a lynching in 1930 in Indiana. He and two of his friends had been accused of a crime. Two of his friends had been lynched, and as the crowd was about to kill him, they let him go. And so he went on to dedicate his life to civil rights, to really healing the wounds that racism and whatnot have been, that has been so prevalent in our country. He really wanted to overcome that and find common ground with people and really promote love and understanding and forgiveness. So I went to the new museum. They're trying to reopen this museum. There have been some financial setbacks, but I interviewed the head griot, Reggie Jackson, and another woman, Fran Kaplan, who's been working with this museum for a while. And we talked about his legacy too, so we can hear from them.
This man who survived a lynching at the age of 16, who was forced to witness a lynching at the age of 8, found a way to not be a hateful person, found a way to take tragic events that happened in his life and use that experience, those emotions, to grow into a person who wanted to make the world better for everybody.
Such a powerful story.
Amazing story. Really inspirational. Yeah. And I think he meant a lot to so many people, not only in Milwaukee, but around the world. I mean, Reggie Jackson talked about how, as a griot there for many, many years, I mean, people would come from all over the world just to learn about this museum.
And there's actually an update on what's happening with the museum.
Yeah, so their plan was to open last fall. Like I said, they had some financial issues. This week actually would have marked Dr. Cameron's birthday. He passed away in 2006. He was in his 90s. But coinciding with his birthday this week, Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abele had this matching donation program going, and they ended up meeting their goal. Chris Abele donated $100,000 to help reopen the museum, and other people obviously have been trying to make sure that this happens. So I'm not sure when the museum will be reopening, but hopefully sometime soon.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Marianne joining us from Superior. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning, folks. I wanted to talk about the Superior, Wisconsin Public Library. It's just completed a major renovation project. And one of the things they did was lower the shelves in the library for the books. And in doing that, it opened up all the Carl Gaboy artwork about Superior, Wisconsin. And they are just gorgeous. And lots of comments about Superior and its history. I look at the library as a central part of our community, welcoming the old and the young. But these Gaboy drawings are just gorgeous.
Oh, Marianne.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is like ripe for exploration.
Totally Wisconsin life.
And libraries, too, are just havens for storytelling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not only do they house the books and the stories that we go to, but oftentimes there are hidden treasures, just like this artwork at so many of our libraries. So thank you, Marianne, for letting us know about that. I will add that to our list of story ideas.
Well, let's turn to a new project you're involved in at WPR called Wisconsin. What is that?
Yes, with Wisconsin, you, the listeners, ask the questions, and we, the folks at WPR, answer those questions. So if you go to WPR.org/Wisconsin, you'll see this little box that you can fill out, and it'll say, what do you wonder about Wisconsin, its people, its culture, and type in your questions, submit your name, your email, your zip code, and we'll try to answer it. We can't get to all the questions, but we're going to try as best as we can to get to them.
How's that been going?
It's been amazing. It's been so much fun seeing the different story ideas that have come in from people. Anything from really broad questions. The last story I did was, why isn't there a song about Wisconsin? Which really caught my eye because I was like, oh, aren't there a few songs about Wisconsin? So we dug into that. I looked into the official state song, which is On Wisconsin. And then I reached out to some music journalists just to get their opinions because there's no right or wrong answer. So, Kate, do you have a song that defines Wisconsin to you?
Not really. I know. I think, Maureen, I need to go and listen to more music with you.
You should
probably have more of a cultured answer to that.
Well, some of my favorite responses that came through were Allison Geyer, who used to work with the Isthmus. She sent in Liberace playing the Beer Barrel Polka, which is like, you know, your Wisconsin twofer right there. And and then there was also Violent Femmes, Blister in the Sun, just because, you know, for a moment in time, they were probably the most famous Wisconsin act out there.
Yeah, that was, and they kind of held it for a while.
They're still holding it.
They're still holding it.
So that was a lot of fun to get to that question. Right now in the works, we have stories about highway signs and just this. Highway signs. Who is it that creates those digital highway signs and like the messages in those highway signs?
Wow.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, stay tuned for that one in a couple weeks. But then this last week or two ago, someone had wrote in and asked us, how did the Badger become Wisconsin's mascot? And web editor John K. Wilson actually went to investigate, and he interviewed a badger, Bucky the Badger, at Henry Vilas Zoo.
Bucky, pretty common name for badgers, I guess, is the resident education badger at Henry Vilas Zoo in Madison. He goes on field trips and teaches kids about nature, so maybe he'd have something to tell me. On a recent morning, I talked with him in his enclosure while he was eating a hard-boiled egg. Hi, Bucky. John K. Wilson with WPR. Can I ask you a few questions? Do you know why the badger is Wisconsin's state animal? Any idea why you're on the state flag? I've seen this type before. Cute, but not a talker. Clearly, I needed someone with some more specialized knowledge.
Only John.
Only John.
I love it. So John goes on to interview some historians, and then he also interviews one of the curators at the zoo to learn some badger facts about badger the animals, but also badger the miners in Wisconsin, which inspired
the
animal.
And we talked a lot about mining in Wisconsin just recently based on everything that came in from that story in Wisconsin.
Which was an amazing segment. Yeah.
So where can people learn more?
Yes. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin, submit your questions, and we will do our best to answer them.
Talking with Wisconsin Life producer Maureen McCollum on a tour of the interesting, the quirky stories that have come together. Wisconsin Life is a project of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, celebrating the uniqueness of our state, exploring all the nooks and crannies. What's something in your backyard that you'd love to see turned into a Wisconsin Life? Give us a call to share it at 800-642-1234. Email it in, ideas@WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It is Wisconsin Weekend on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There is this storytelling unit at Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television that works to draw us closer to our state. Wisconsin Life celebrates the uniqueness all around us, and we're on a highlights tour from some of the recent work that's triggered those driveway moments we all know about and love. Is there a question you want to ask Wisconsin to dig into? And what do you want to know about Wisconsin? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Maureen McCollum will take the question. She is an executive producer of Wisconsin Life. And let's go back to the phones now with Dan joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
What's your idea?
Well, I just called to mention that in northern Wisconsin, just off of Highway 13, near Mellon, Wisconsin, we have the Copper River State Park, and the Copper River flows out of there. And in the earliest days of the state, there was so much copper in northern Wisconsin that it could be picked up raw off the ground.
Wow. I can't even imagine.
That is
amazing.
Amazing.
And there is about to be, and as I understand it, there is going to be a new open pit mine up there that's going to be 22 and some miles long, an open pit mine, and they're going to mine things like copper and gold, as a matter of fact.
So you want to look more at the history of copper and copper mining in the state, and certainly minerals is really part of our flag.
It's
part of our backbone.
Yeah.
Dan, thank you.
That's why the Badger was on the state flag.
Exactly.
You just explored that.
Yeah,
Dan,
right.
Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks,
well,
Dan.
You hear from so many different voices. One of them involved writer and Wisconsin native June Melby, who told a story about a certain jacket she wore out west. What was this about?
So June is an actress, and she had moved out to California when she was younger to pursue a career in acting. But like many people who move away from home, she found herself getting home homesick at times and asked her mom to send her a Wisconsin FFA jacket. It says Waupun FFA on the back. And she found herself, when she would walk around with this jacket in LA, she would be approached from Wisconsinites, Midwesterners, who were just like, oh my gosh, are you from Wisconsin? And then they would talk a bit about home. And, you know, so she felt like as she wore this jacket, a piece of home was coming at her.
I love it. Can we take a listen?
Every time I wore the blue FFA jacket, I'd meet someone from the Midwest. They'd suddenly appear out of the crowd and we would talk about how odd it felt to be in Los Angeles. Isn't it funny they call this winter? I know, it's 55 degrees. My landlord's wearing a parka. At Walgreens near me, sprayed their windows white to make it look like snow. We'd roll our eyes and laugh, oh no, and shake our heads. Total strangers instantly close, like long-lost, distant cousins talking about our hometowns.
Isn't that nice?
I love it. I love her voice, too.
I know. She's amazing. So, fun fact about June Melby. She was one of the aliens in Space Jam.
Huh. Fun fact.
Fun fact.
So, where are you taking Wisconsin life in the future?
So, I'm very excited about a couple big projects that I'm working on. I have been working with a group of high school students from Monona Grove Charter High School, MG21, and we've been working over the school year. In May, you'll be hearing a big series that we put together with different high school stories, because I really think it's important to hear from more young people in Wisconsin. And I'm also teaming up with the Wisconsin Humanities Council and Centro Hispano here in Madison to collect more Latinx immigrant stories in Dane County. So those are two big projects that are coming down the pipeline.
And is there any crossover with Wisconsin Public Television, too?
Yeah. So WPT is in the process of planning their next broadcast season. Mm-hmm. And we're going to experiment with a little working together on some stories a little more. So, you know, I'll be out there with my microphone while the photographer's out there with their video camera, trying not to get in each other's shot or line of sound. So, yeah, you'll be able to hear and see that in the next season.
Well, it sounds like so much fun.
It is.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kate. Anytime.
Maureen McCollum is an executive producer of Wisconsin Life. We've been exploring all the great stories that Wisconsin Life brings us each Friday here on the Ideas Network. And next, we're going to hear the latest installment for Wisconsin Life. And this one is from producer Steve Gotcher and reporter Danielle Kading.
Dog sledding has been a family affair for writer Julie Buckles. She and her husband, Charlie Ray, caught the bug when they first moved to northern Wisconsin. In the past, she raced with her daughter, Caroline, in the annual Apostle Islands dog sled race. The mother of two considered hanging it up, but she just kept on dogging it. Danielle Kading brings us this audio postcard.
If you have dogs that are kind of snippy or have a bad attitude, it just takes all the fun out of it. So actually, everyone in this kennel has a great attitude. When we moved up here, we were introduced to the racing community through the first Apostle Island sled dog race. And we also had met John and Mary Thiel, who run Wolfsong Mushing. They do it as a business. And they had it was back when they had four dogs. They have 50 now. But when they had four dogs, they took us out, and we just thought that was super fun. And Charlie and I had done some big wilderness trips, and Charlie had this idea that if we had dogs, we could go out and do winter wilderness trips. And so for my birthday one year, he built me a dog box and said we were gonna go fill it. I always thought dog sledding would end when my kids weren't interested anymore. And so Caroline had raced four races and she had been so involved with the dogs, but she was 13 and she's got sports, she's in cross country ski team, and she basically said, I'm done. Charlie and I agreed we were going to start selling, and he even started selling gear on Craigslist, and he came to me to talk to me about what we should price it at, and I started to cry. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to be done. A month or two later, Blair, who has a racing kennel, called me and said, I have this awesome dog named Popeye who just has a heart murmur, and so he can't do longer races. Are you interested? And I don't know, just that name Popeye, I was sucked in. Every musher has a story about how it started with one dog. Kind of my rebirth in dog sledding started with one dog, and it's Popeye, and he's the lightest one in the kennel. usually get them out 4 times a week minimum. They really need to be exercised at least every other day. This is their prime time. It's cold. They're ready to go. They're part of our family, because with this team, I almost never ever give dogs away. Once they're here for life. I reached a point 1 year where we had a set of dogs that all died, and I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't say goodbye to any more dogs. But then a new dog comes along and you fall in love again, and you just realize that that's part of the deal. Unbite! All right, hike. It's really an awesome time because I think about one thing, and it's the dogs. Because dog sledding is a 0 to 50 sport. You could be trotting along 1 minute, and if you stop paying attention, you've gone to 50, and you've got a tangle, your team is loose. It's all consuming. And so when you're out, this is all you're thinking about. Then every once in a while my mind does wander, and I think about things like, which dogs will get to run at the sled dog race? And I think it's these 6. And then, or I might think about, like, if I had a new litter of sled dog pups, what theme would I choose to name them all? And it's just everything about these guys is so much fun, and just being out there with them is just, it's all about them. I don't think about bills or emails or what I have to do next. I just think about that run that day and how well it's going. And when it goes well, it's a really great day. Right, guys?
Danielle Kading is a reporter with the Superior Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Steve Gotcher.
And send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@wpr.org, and we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're with us on the Ideas Network.